Now, surely, if we're the first one of this fellowship here in Pennsylvania, we've never had any contact with these people in this strange little group that's up there in New York City and in Akron. But somehow we got a copy of this big book. And we sat down and we read the doctor's opinion. And we read Bill's story. And we made identification. Then surely we can begin to see what our problem is too. We can begin to see our powerlessness over alcohol because of the physical allergy, because of the obsession of the mind. We can begin to believe that if Bill could recover from this condition, well, maybe we could too. We're talking about steps 1 and 2, and we're beginning to get the information necessary for that, and we're beginning to pick some of it up here in the doctor's opinion and Bill's story. I can almost see Bill as he finishes up with his story, kind of sitting back and reflecting on what he's done up to this point. Now remember, Bill is not a writer, really. He's never written a book before. And nobody's ever really written one to this extent on alcoholism. And he probably says to himself, I believe that I've shown them, through the doctor's opinion and through my story, what the problem really is. He probably says they're beginning to believe now in a power greater than themselves that could help them out. And he said, I think what I better do now is tell them exactly what the solution is to the problem that's just been presented to them. And he wrote another chapter and he called it, There Is a Solution. And in this chapter, he's going to talk about 2 things. He's going to talk about 2 kinds of power. For those of us who are powerless, obviously the answer will lie within power. And in this chapter, he talks about the power of the fellowship and the power of the vital spiritual experience. And if we could take those 2 powers and add them together and apply them to our lives, then surely that would be enough power to overcome our powerlessness over alcohol. He's just told us what the problem is, and now then he's going to write the prescription to that problem. He's going to tell us what the solution actually consists of, starting on page 17.
You know, Abby brought Bill a solution. He said, Bill, here is the solution. He said, I was shocked, but I was interested. So Bill now is going to bring us a solution. He's going to tell us exactly what the solution is. And he's going to begin to talk about, as Charlie said, 2 different powers. The power of the fellowship, which is a wonderful thing to feel a part of, and the power of the vital spiritual experience as a result of the steps that's in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Bringing those 2 together makes a design for living that really works. But so many times we in the fellowship have just gone to the meetings and just gone to the fellowship. Just go to the meeting. Just go to the meeting. You'll be all right. And we leave out the vital spiritual experience or the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we started getting away from the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and just started participating in the meetings. Things get real bad. We run to the fellowship. We run to a meeting. There is another portion that we can apply to ourselves and to our lives, and that's the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So he's going to talk about 2 different powers, the power of the fellowship, then the power of the vital spiritual experience. And the 2 of them put together makes a design for living that really works. And it says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were just once as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. Said, we are average Americans.
I think today we could change that statement and say we're average citizens of the world, because we now have AA in approximately 151 different countries throughout the world, in about 85,000 groups and over 2 million people. So we're average citizens of the world now.
All sections of this country and many occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. But we are people who normally would not mix.
You know, I always stop when I read this. And I always look at the people that make up the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Most people who are joined together in groups such as this are bound by common ties, such as a common religion, such as a common political purpose, such as a common religious function. We have none of those things in Alcoholics Anonymous. We are people who normally would not mix with each other. As we sit here this morning and look at this crowd, we're probably the most mixed up group of individuals in this city today. because we represent everything you can think of in here. All different political backgrounds, all different economic backgrounds, all different religious backgrounds, different sexes, different races, and different everything. We are people who normally would not mix with each other. You know, if you took the word alcohol or alcoholism out of our conversation this morning, I don't know what the hell we'd talk about. We don't have enough in common to carry on a decent conversation if we took alcohol away from this morning.
I doubt that you want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys this morning, do you? But there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful.
Even though we are people who normally would not mix, there still exists among us a fellowship and a friendliness which is indescribably wonderful. Now then, Bill is going to start another one of his little tricks. Like a lot of writers, he likes to teach by talking about something we already know about in order to teach us something new. You know, we had another great teacher that lived 2,000 years ago that was really good at this. When he wanted to teach something to the fisherman, he told him a story about fish, knowing the fisherman would get the point. But if he wanted to teach the same thing to the shepherd, he changed his story and it was about sheep. And then when he went to the farmer, he talked about cattle and grains. Bill does this throughout the book. And if you once pick up on it, it makes the book easier to understand. He's going to talk to us about a great ocean liner and the people on that ocean liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck. In the 1930s, ocean liners, that was the mode of travel between continents. That was before the days of airplanes as we know them now. And nearly everybody that went from one continent to another always went by ocean liner, and he knew that people would understand what he's talking about. Plus, the Titanic was still fresh on everybody's mind. Let's see what his example tells us.
See, we're like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joy, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feeling of the ship passengers, however, our joy and escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in a powerful cement which binds us, but that in itself would never have held us. We're now joined. You know, one of the elements in this common powerful cement which binds us together is the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Us coming together today is a powerful thing. I can feel the power in this room today because of us all coming here for one purpose and one purpose only, to talk about alcoholism, recovery from alcoholism, and how to do that. There's great power in the fellowship. I don't believe I'm going to be drinking here this morning while I'm in your company, because such is the power of the fellowship. Such is the power of going to meetings together. As long as I'm in a meeting, I don't drink. There's a power there. And I can go to a lot of meetings and not drink whiskey. See, it don't take much of this program to not drink whiskey. And it don't take much of a man to not drink whiskey. But damn sure it takes all of him, let me tell you. But going to the meetings is a great and wonderful thing. And that is one element in the powerful cement which binds us together.
But here's the first great warning in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement which binds us. But that in itself would never have held us as we are now joined. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join together in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. The Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is a tremendous thing, and there's a lot of power gained through the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. But the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism is not the news of the fellowship. It is the news of the common solution. And in the common solution, we can join together in brotherly and harmonious action. A little later on in the book, we're going to see where the common solution is, a simple kit of spiritual tools laid at her feet, which brings about the vital spiritual experience. Now, if we can take the power of the fellowship, and then if we can combine that with the power of the vital spiritual experience, and add those two powers together, then that's enough to overcome our powerlessness over alcohol, but fellowship alone is not sufficient. I think one of the greatest tragedies in the world today is that we people in Alcoholics Anonymous are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and thousands and thousands and thousands of work hours trying to attract other people to the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous when we've got literally thousands of alcoholics sitting around us in the fellowship dying from alcoholism. And the reason they're dying from alcoholism is they're participating in fellowship only. They're not being engaged into the 12-step program. They're not having the vital spiritual experience, and they're running around with a bad case of untreated alcoholism, even though they're members of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think if we would concentrate on what we've got, instead of worrying so damn much about what we want to get, we're probably all going to be a hell of a lot better off. If we could all be sure that every newcomer understands this page. Two powers. Power of the fellowship, power of the vital spiritual experience. Fellowship alone is not sufficient. It's great, it's tremendous, but it's not enough. The tremendous fact is we've discovered a common solution. Now, Bill never tells us anything, but what he does not explain, what he tells us. The first half of this chapter, he's going to describe to us why fellowship alone is not sufficient. Then the last half of this chapter, he will explain to us what the common solution is and show us how when we tie the two together, we can then recover. Let's look first at why fellowship alone is not sufficient.
Page 20.